Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast. We are so glad that you are joining us today. For today's podcast on this Mother's Day Sunday, Pastor Betty Jones brings a teaching entitled, The Power of Yes. So prepare your hearts for an encouraging and powerful message from God. Enjoy, and God bless.
To thank God for my mother that's here today. I thank you and I praise you for her, because I tell you, if it had not been for her, I could not be here, because she's a woman of God. I thank God for that. And so, as I said, the word that the Lord has released to me today, to release to you all, is the power of yes. The power of yes. Yes has a magic within it. But so often we are afraid that when we say yes, we don't exactly know what that yes entails. See, we want to know the end from the beginning. I want to know what yes going to cost me. It's going to cost you something. And so when people call and they say, will you do such and such and such and such, I'd be like, okay, now what does this entail? What does this entail? Because so often you say yes, and you don't know what it entails. But see, when you're working with God, you got to trust him enough that if he asks you to say yes, he's already worked it out. So if you say yes, you get to see a miracle. You get to see a miracle when you say yes. And when you say yes to God, you already know he believes in you. He wouldn't even ask you to say yes if it was something that he did not already equip you to do. If you say yes to God, yes leads to more open doors. It leads to more open doors. If you say yes to the little things, God will give you a process so you can say yes to the big things. God wants us to say yes. As a matter of fact, it's imperative that we say yes, that we say yes. But we realize that the enemy fills our mind with all kind of fear, trying to tell us what will happen, what won't happen. You're not equipped. But when God calls you to say yes, he's already equipped you. He's just looking for your obedience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the Greek, yes means always, at all times, and forever. Always, at all times, and forever. I'm going somewhere with this. And I want you all to follow along with me as we go with this yes. So we look for God to explain things to us. And God said, no, I need you to walk by faith and not by sight. I need you to walk by faith and not by sight. And so when we say yes to God, God has already made the way. So we have a few scriptures that we're going to use, and a lot of these scriptures are some most often you see at Christmas, but God led me here, and I know he's going somewhere with it. We must simply trust God at all ways, at all times, and forever. If you see on your handout, your visual, we're starting with the angel comes to Mary, and we're looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 and 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I am a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy. And he will be called the Son of God. And what's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to call her barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. For the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And the angel left. Historically, very little is known about Mary. It is believed that Mary was quite young when she married. In most of the ancient readings that you look into, the young men and the young women during that day and time was young when they married. So it's believed that Mary was around 12, 13 years old. Mary was humble. She was a small town girl from an insignificant village called Nazareth. Mary was a peasant girl, not a princess. Mary said, I will endure the stares. I will endure the name calling. Yes, I will carry this child. Be it unto me according to your will. Mary had no idea what she had to endure or what she would endure when she said yes to God. And neither do we. But what Mary knew was that she trusted God, and so must we. The power of yes. The power of yes. And on this journey, Mary's going to be the main theme of our teaching. But we're going to look at some other mothers along the way. Let's look at Hannah. Hannah was one of the wives married to Echaniah. She was a sister wife before we knew about sister wives. But Hannah was barren. And Hannah often endured the picking of the other wife, Peninnah, who was open, her womb was open, and she had many children. But Hannah could not have any children. And although Echaniah loved her, that was not enough. Hannah wanted a child. And so Hannah went into the temple, and she was praying, and she prayed so until Eli thought she was drunk. And she promised God, if you give me a son, I'll give him back to you. Oh, and Hannah became pregnant. And Hannah had this baby. And Hannah kept this son until he was weaned. And then she took him to the temple because she had said yes to God. She promised God. But let's think about this, y'all. She left him with Eli. Eli had 2 terrible sons. So doesn't talk about a woman being there to take a mother's place. And the word of God said Hannah went up every year to visit Samuel. Can't you imagine how she felt having to leave her son there? Can't you imagine what Samuel and the questions he asked, Mama, why can't I go home with you? Why can't I go? I love you, Samuel, but Mama, if you love me, why can't I go home with you? Can you imagine how Samuel felt? But more than anything, can you imagine how Hannah felt? Because I have a child. And it's hard to stick with your yes. But when God called you to say yes, you got to stay with your yes. And thank God Hannah stayed with her yes. Because if Hannah had not stayed with her yes, Samuel wouldn't be one of the most known prophets in all of the Bible. But not only was Samuel a prophet, Samuel was a judge, and Samuel was a teacher because Hannah stayed with her yes. Hannah stayed with her yes. God is looking for some Hannahs, y'all. He's calling you to say yes and to stay with your yes, because when you say yes, God can use your child. Because he just entrusted our children to us anyway. He has a call on their lives. Let's look at Elizabeth. Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. And she was considered a disgrace because she was barren. Both she and her husband were old. And she was past her childbearing years. Yes, she conceived John by the grace of God. And because Zechariah, thank you, baby, because Zechariah was a priest, I can imagine they were grooming John for the priesthood. But God had a different call for John. The Spirit of the Lord led John out in the desert. He was dressed like with camel's hair, and he ate locusts and honey. Now think about this. You got one son that was born to you in your old age. You got plans for this boy. You gonna put him in them little white hard-bottom shoes, them long socks, them knickers, and them suspenders. John gonna be clean, because that's your only boy. And you want him to be like his daddy. Although his daddy lived a lifetime and only got to go in the most holy of holies one time to offer sacrifice, God had a different call for John. Now you gonna lead my boy out here in this wilderness? He got to dress up with camel hair and eat locusts and honey? I got to go check on my boy. I got to go check on my boy. I'm his mama. I got to go check on my boy. So he's out here. Can't you see her going every day, Lord? Must my yes, endure this? Do I have to watch my boy where all of the people are calling him crazy, saying something wrong with him? This my boy. Not only do I have to see him like this, I got to hear and endure all of the gossip and what all the people are saying. Oh, but she had to stay with her yes, y'all. She had to stay with her yes. Hallelujah. She had to stay with her yes. And because she stayed with her yes, John the Baptist baptized the Son of God. Because she stayed with a yes. She stayed with a yes. Thank you, Lord God. He got a chance to announce him. He was the forerunner of Jesus. See, God got a call. He got something for your children to do. But he's calling for mamas to say yes. There's power in our yes. Because you know what? When our children see us saying yes, then they learn how to say yes. They're going to need it down the road, y'all. They're going to need it down the road. Hallelujah. Where are the Hannahs? Where are the Elizabeths? Hallelujah. God is calling for us to say yes. And if you tread this through to the birth of Jesus now, follow the diagram. Follow the diagram. Push it through. Because you hear it, you see it, you do it, and you remember it. The birth of Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. At the time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout Rome. And so they had to travel to a Bethlehem. Mary was full of baby. She had to ride on a donkey. They had to go, and when they got there, there was no room in the hotels for Mary and Joseph to stay. So they had to go to a stable in a barn. Wasn't the best of times, wasn't the best of condition. I'm sure Mary's questioning her yes. You know, no, I said yes, but I had no idea it was going to lead me here. I got to have this baby in a stable? Okay, Lord. And not only did I have him in a stable, I didn't have any clothes to put him in. So the words say she wrapped him in swaddling clothing. And swaddling in the Greek mean rags, strips of cloth. So she had strips of cloth. She trying to keep this baby warm, y'all, in a manger. She had him in a stable and she had to lay him in a manger. Oh, you know what we do now when we have babies? We have all kind of reveal parties. We got the room decorated. We got a theme. We got it all. Mary wanted the same thing for her baby, but she had to go through something. That's not what God called her to do and for him to be born. It wasn't the best of conditions, but Mary had said yes. It wasn't the best of places nor the best of time. Couldn't this baby come after we get back home? I want to be there with my mama. when I have this baby. But Mary said yes. Mary said yes. Let's look at Moses' mama, Jochebed. See, it was a decree written when Jesus was born. And then it's a decree written when Moses is born. But how many of you all know that God has already written a decree over our children? Regardless of where they're born, how they come in this world, God has already written a decree over our children. We all know about Moses. Moses was born during the time the Pharaoh of Egypt said, these Israelites growing too much. It's too many of them. They're going to overtake us. So what I need you to do is, first he told the midwives, when you get there, break their necks, kill the babies. The midwives heard from God, and they said, no, them Israelite women too strong. By the time we get there, they already pushed them babies out. So he said, okay, that ain't going to work. But what I need you to do is every son that's under the age of 2, I need you to throw him in the Nile. This is during the time that Moses was born. This is not a good time, y'all. And so Jochebed hid Moses as long as she could. The Bible says she heard him till he was about, he hid her until he was about 3 months old. We all know if you had a baby, by the time that baby get 3 months, that baby ain't taking a bottle and going right back to sleep. That baby want to coo, coo, coo and kee, kee, kee. She couldn't hide him any longer. So she went to God. How can I save my son? Lord, I need to save my son. But isn't an amazing thing how God asked you to do and what he asked you to do? Now, the decree from Pharaoh was, throw him in the Nile. She saw God and God said, throw him in the Nile. She said, I didn't hear you right. Ain't no way I heard you right, Daddy. You want me to throw my boy in the Nile? I'm worse than Pharaoh. At least he ain't Pharaoh's boy. This is my boy, and you want me to throw him in the Nile? Now, it's a funny thing about the Nile, because the Nile has the largest crocodiles in all of Africa. Oh, they some meat-eating crocodiles. And so they said, you know, when the people went down to wash their clothes in the Nile, every year about 200 or 300 folks didn't come back. Now, you know Jochebed had to know that. He said, throw him in the Nile. Because, see, the decree that I wrote for Moses. Listen, I love God, y'all. The decree I wrote for Moses, long before Pharaoh wrote this decree, Moses means drawn from the water. Throw him in the Nile. Throw him in the Nile. But he gave a strategic plan. Build him a little boat. Patch it all up. Push it on out there. Throw it in the Nile. And I thank God that Jochebed stayed on her yes. And because she stayed on her yes, God already had a plan. He already had a plan. But she didn't know that. But she trusted God. And that's what we got to do. And because she trusted God, Moses led the people out of Israel. Led them out of Israel because she stayed on her yes. Hallelujah. We got to stay on our yes, y'all. The entire Old Testament is written by Moses. The first 5 books of the law, God gave it to Moses. The 10 commandments, God gave them to Moses because she threw him in. The very thing the enemy meant to kill him, God used for his good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God is awesome. He's written a decree. If you can trust him, God's going to use your children's mama. He's going to use your children in the name of Jesus. Our children are facing trying times. Oh, murder is at the all-time high. Oh, Lord, we are horrified about what we hear in the news, what's going on with our children. But I tell you, God wrote a decree. God says in Genesis 17:7, and I will establish my covenant between thee and thy seed. And after thee, their generations for an everlasting covenant. God wrote a decree. Isaiah 49:25 said, well, I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. God wrote a decree. We got to stand on his word. Isaiah 54 and 13 said, all my children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace and undisturbed composure. God has written a decree. He has a plan for our children's life. Jeremiah 29 and 11 said, I know the plans that I have towards you and your children. I know the plan. Can you trust the plan? Can you trust the plan? Hallelujah. Thread on through. Now we're going to Jesus in the temple. Hallelujah. The power of yes. The power of yes. Luke chapter 2, 46 through 48. The next day they found him in the temple seated among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. The teachers were quite taken by him, impressed with the sharpness of his answers. But his parents were not impressed. They were upset and they was hurt. His mother said, young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have spent half out of our minds looking for you. He said, why were you looking for me? Didn't you know that I had to be here dealing with the things of my father? See, Jesus was only about 12 years old, the scripture says. We may think that God doesn't have anything for our young people. God uses young people. He uses young people. Jeremiah 1 and 7, it said, the Lord responded, do not say I'm only a child. Where I send you, you must go. And what I tell you to say. Mary didn't understand how God was moving in Jesus' life. Understand how God is moving in our children's life. But we got to trust God. We cannot hold them back when they're moving and operating in the things of God. So often we're so afraid of what other people are going to say when our children fall in love with God at an early age and start to move in the things of God. We're wondering why they're not doing what we think all young children should do. But that's what the words say. God has written a decree about our children, the power of yes. Let's look at the young man that the two fish and the five loaves of bread, his mama's not even named. His mama's not even named. But the Bible say he was a boy. And Jesus took the boat and went to the other side of the sea. Now, when I looked at this sea, they said the circumference was about 31 miles around. I don't know if the little boy came from the other side or if he came from the villages from the side that Jesus had went to. But it said he was a little boy. So can you imagine this mama? This mama had to let her child go with two fish, five loaves. She thought it was just his lunch. She thought it was just his lunch. But God had a plan. He had a plan for that little boy. Yes, yes, he did. He had a plan for that little boy. Got there. It got late. Disciples said, let's release him. Let him go find him some food and go home. Jesus said, no, we're going to feed him. We ain't got none. What you got? See, Jesus is asking, what do you have? What do you have? He never asked you for something that you don't already have. You just got to trust him. And so they said, well, we got this little boy with two fish and five loaves of bread. Now, I know that mama never thought that he was going to have to be out there late, out in the desert, and get his lunch taken. We know when folks take our children lunch, mess with our children. But God had a plan for this young man. The word of God said when they brought the two fish and five loaves of bread, Jesus blessed it and he broke it. And he had the 5,000 men sit down. They don't even name how many other women and mothers and other children was with them. But the Bible said every one of them was fed until they had enough. And then they took up 12 full baskets of the fragment. When you allow your God, your child to be used by God, God's got a blessing for you. Because I believe the young man got those 12 baskets of food. I believe he took it back to his mama and the whole village got fed. See, God got a plan for our children. He's got a plan not only to bless your house, but he will bless the neighborhood when you say yes to God. That's the power of yes. That's the power of yes. And then we're going to talk about David. David's mother's name is never mentioned in the Bible. But as I was doing my research in all of the ancient scriptures, the books, the Talmud, the Jews said her name was Nekovich. Nekovich. Never knew that. They say Nekovich was David's mother. And in studying and preparing for this, I didn't know this. And you do your research, and the books that I looked in was the old Jewish books. But you do your research for yourself, because I've never heard this. It's not mentioned in our Bible. The Bible said that Jesse, after the seventh son was born, he started to question if his lineage was really good, because he started to question whether his grandmama Ruth was really converted. So he started to have doubts that he had what it took, that he was legitimate. And so he kind of stole away, and he had a concubine that he felt could legitimate his heritage. And so he was going to use her to have another child. But because this handmaiden loved Nekovich, she told Nekovich of the plan. Nekovich slipped in, took her concubine's place, and became pregnant with David. Jesse didn't believe David was his son, and neither did any of the older brothers. So the Bible kind of says in 1 Samuel 16 and 11, the reason they did not call David when Samuel came to baptize and anoint the next king, David wasn't even called to the house. David wasn't even allowed to eat at the table. That's why he was keeping the flock. The brothers actually hoped that he would be killed, because they thought that Nekovich brought shame unto Jesse. And so when nobody knew that he was a legitimately Jesse's son, but his mama. Can you imagine the shame that David endured and what she had to hear? Scholars believe that David was making reference to this in Psalms 51 and 5 when he said, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Hallelujah. But the mother knew. She knew. But can you imagine night after night she had to stand and wonder while her son, her baby was out there under the stars. Was he okay? Is my boy okay? Is my boy okay? If you go back and you read in Psalm 69, you read about how not only did his family make fun of him, but the whole town and village made fun of him. If some came up stolen, they said it was David. They said it was David. Oh, but Nekovich knew. Nekovich knew. And God was using David. God was using David. David said when he went out to fight Goliath, and they was telling David, "No, you're not equipped, you're not ready." David said, "Oh, yes. See, because I've been out under the stars, and when I was out there keeping my daddy's sheep, a bear came up, and I killed the bear, and then a lion came up, and I killed the lion. Oh, I am well able, because of the God I serve has prepared me for such a time as this." I can see Nekovich looking, "Oh, Lord, you done kept him. But now he got to go up against this 9 foot that not even Saul. Saul is the king. Saul won't even go up against him. Oh, Lord, I didn't know that my yes would bring me to this about my child." But you all know that God allowed David to kill Goliath, and the very thing they thought would destroy him, God used to catapult him into legitimacy. Because the word of the God that I read said that a king cannot be anointed if he wasn't legitimate. So he was legitimate. God used that. When Samuel anointed him, it legitimized the fact that David was legitimate. And then God used that very thing that the enemy thought would destroy him to catapult him into status, into the kingdom. Or when he received the kingdom, and mama, how many of y'all know that when your boy get blessed, you get blessed? Hallelujah. Look at NFL on Sunday evening. Look at the NBA on Sunday evening. If mama ain't there, the first thing they say is, "Hey, Mom. Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom. I dare you to say yes to God. I dare you to say yes to God. Hallelujah. The power of yes. The power of yes. We want our children to follow Christ, but we hesitate to let him lead them. The very love we have for our children often become a barrier in hindering them from receiving all that God has for them. We are so afraid that something's going to happen to them. The enemy put fear upon you, and can't nobody tell you more about this than me. Because not only was I fearful, it was a spirit of fear. It was a spirit of fear about my child. But I said, Lord, I'm not going to continue to be harassed, because if this child was sitting in the same room with me, if you chose to take her, I don't have any say-so. So, God, I surrender my yes to you. I surrender my yes to you. Jacob wouldn't send Benjamin into Egypt for fear. Now, they starving, but he would not send Benjamin for fear that he would lose this son, just like he thought he had lost Joseph. But God had a plan. God had a plan. I believe God is working through our children to shape nations, to change the world, to ignite our churches, and to bless our homes. If we say yes. 2 Timothy 1:5 said, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. A faith that was there first to your grandmother, Lois, and now to your mother, Eunice. And I'm convinced it is in you. And so I replaced those names. I said it was first in Gabby's grandmother, Essie. It's now in her mama, Betty. And I know it's in her. I know it's in her. And that's why I can allow her to go to the Dominican and bless that nation over there. Because I declare and I decree that when God finished with her, with my 2 fish and my 5 loaves of bread, she's going to return with a mighty blessing. A mighty blessing. It won't be 12 baskets of bread, because that ain't what we need. But I declare she's going to be full. She's going to be full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I dare you to trust God with your children. Hallelujah. I know it's in them. He said, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from you. I have written a decree, but I got to have a yes. I must have a yes. God is calling for Hannah's and Elizabeth's, the mother with the 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Can you trust me with your children? Because if you trust me with your children, I'll show you what I'll do in and through them. If you'll trust me with your children, regardless of what the world say, regardless of what the world is doing, I'm not concerned with Atlanta Housewives. I'm not concerned with Love and Hip Hop. I'm not concerned with the rap. I'm not afraid of Lil Wayne. I'm not afraid of all those devilish lyrics, because I have written a decree concerning your children. Can you trust me with a yes? Can you trust me with a yes? Well, let's go on through to Jesus on the way to the cross. Hallelujah. John chapter 19, verse 17 said, carrying his own cross, he went out to a place of the skull, and it's called Golgotha. At this time, after seeing all that has happened, can you imagine what Mary is thinking? Can you imagine after seeing him beat? The Bible says he was marched from judgment hall to judgment hall. Can you imagine Mary saying, God, I said yes. I said yes. I didn't know my yes would lead me to here. And what's your plan, God? What's your plan? Because this don't look good. And Lord, there's nothing I can do about it. You ever been in a place where your child was going through something? Woo! There was nothing you could do about it but stand on your yes and the word of God. Didn't look good. Didn't feel good, because you know what? When they hurt, we hurt. Yes. But God is faithful. And if you trust him and stand on your yes, woo, I know what God will do. Thank you, God. So Mary's seeing all this. They spitting on him. They making fun of him. They beating him. Ain't nothing I can do about it. But I trust you, God. I trust you, God. One of the writers described the scene like this. It said, as he journeyed to the cross, Mary saw the Son of God, her own son, the Holy One, the Redeemer. He was stumbling, bowed down. His thorn-crowned head was laid over on his shoulder because of the weight of the cross. Jesus was stumbling because the cross was so heavy. The executioners had no sorrow for him. They just continued to pull the ropes. His face was pale and wounded and blood-stained. His beard was pointed and matted with blood. From his sunken eyes full of blood, he cast from under the tangled, twisted crown of cross on his head to look tenderly at his mother. And their eyes locked. And once again, he fell to the ground. His mother was filled with passionate love and anguish. She didn't see the soldiers. She didn't see anyone but her son. Ooh. And you know how we do? Without even thinking, Mary rushed towards him. And all she could do was just throw her arms across his shoulder. Before they shooed her away. But the writer said, I heard this. I don't know if it was with my lips or in the spirit. They had just a moment. And Mary said, my son. And Jesus said, my mother. Wonder what Mary was thinking about her yes at this time. Children may be carrying the heavy burdens, y'all. They may be suffering with addiction, rejection, depression. But we got to trust God and stay with our yes. Stay with our yes. Because the word of God says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. They're walking down a road sometime. The Bible says Jesus walked down the Villa Delta Road. The literal meaning was the sorrowful way. Children are in sorrow sometime. But he who promised is faithful to perform. His word shall not return to him void. If he said it, it shall come to pass. Amen. I believe I'll trust God because I've tried him too many times before and I found him to be faithful. I found him to be faithful. Even in the hard times, I found him to be faithful. Let's tread on through to Jesus on the cross. So you hear it, you see it, you do it, you remember. Because I declare, I know there are some mothers that's standing on yes, and it don't look good right now. But I promise you, God is faithful. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull. There they crucified him. But near the cross of Jesus stood, guess who, y'all? His mother. As Mary was standing there watching all that has taken place, can you imagine what she's thinking? From the time that the angel came to her and she said, "Yes, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work, but yes, Lord, be it unto me. May everything you said about me come to pass. I gave birth to this boy in a stable. Wasn't the best of times, but I endured it. I endured it. He ran away around 12 years old. I didn't know where he was, but when I got there, he was in the temple. He was amazing, all of the scholars, and he didn't understand why I was upset. But God, I trust my yes, and I trusted you. I watched them make fun of him. I even went to him when they said he was going crazy and they said, your mother and your brothers are outside. And he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother and my sister except for those who do the will of God? His mama. This is what he said. So God, I've watched them beat him. I've watched them torture my boy. And now here he hangs on the cross. And you say you had a plan for him, and I trusted you. But my boy's on the cross. What am I to do? He's on the cross, Daddy. But I said yes, and it's led me here. And just like Mary, there are going to be times when our children are in a place that we can't do anything. It's going to be a very painful time in their life. Maybe not until physical death. But a very painful time. But when you say yes, we've got to stand on our yes. When their dreams that they dreams don't come to fruition. When their boyfriends and girlfriends walk away. When their husband and their wives walk away. When all of their plans fall apart and they're looking at you and all you can tell them is trust God. Just trust God. I know he's faithful. I know he's faithful. You got to remember your yes, because remembering your yes will help you to stand. Remember the word of God. If you remember that word, it will help you to stand. John chapter 16, verse 33 said, I have said these things to you, that in you you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. I will overcome the world. Will you remember his word? Romans 8 and 28 said, for we know, not what we think, what we know, but we know all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You got to remember his word, because if you don't remember his word, circumstances and situations will cause you to move off of your yes. That fear will push you back and you'll change your mind and you'll go to their rescue. And you're interfere with what God has for them. Amen, you got to stay on your yes and trust God to do what God does best. Amen. The power of yes. Oh, and then let's move on to the resurrection. Oh, yes, there's a resurrection. There's a resurrection. Woo, God specializing in raising dead things. Hallelujah. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 24, verse 5 said, why do you look for the living among the dead? Verse 6 said, he is not here, he has risen. Can you imagine how Mary felt when she got the news that her boy had risen? Oh, I know she got the news, because as he was hanging on the cross, he looked at John and her and he said, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And the word said from that day on, John took her in his house and took care of her. And then the word of God said when Peter and John ran to look in the tomb after they had got the news and the tomb was empty, they ran back home. And I know they ran home and told Mary, your boy done risen. Hallelujah. She stayed on a yes, y'all. Just like CPR is used for victims with cardiac arrest to keep people alive, God can and will breathe life into dead things. Or the book of Ezekiel chapter 37 talk about them dead, dry bones. Oh, but I believe God said he going to breathe life into them. Can and the breath of life mean to revive them? God wants to revive some things in our children. He want to move them out of the grave back to living, y'all. Some of our children, they've gone astray. We don't know what it's going to take to bring them in. And to be perfect honest with you, some of us are fearful of what it's going to take to bring them in. But I declare that God has written a decree. He has promised, and he who promised is faithful to perform. I tell you, God wants to breathe life back into our children. There's a resurrection. Anybody believe that your children are going to be resurrected? I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. God is getting ready to shake, rattle, and roll with some dry bones. He's getting ready to move in our children's life. All we got to do is stay on our yes. Stay on our yes. Whether find a glimpse that we get a Mary from the word of God, we see her praying, because the word of God in Acts said they was in the upper room praying, waiting on the Holy Spirit to come. And they said not only was other women, but the Bible said Mary was there. That's the last glimpse we get of her. And she was there. And I believe that she knew then that her son had risen. It said the son who had died a cruel death that had brought her so much pain was also the eternal son of God, raised from the dead, alive forevermore. Mary stayed on her yes. How many of you all going to stay on your yes? You're going to stay on your yes because you believe God that what he said, he is going to perform. God is faithful. See, because if we want to see the power of God, we got to say yes. We got to say yes. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, please. The power of yes. The power of yes. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, lele bo se kese lele la la mosa. Oh, thank you, God. There's a song that's been resonating in my spirit all week. And I'm not a singer, but you know what? God's going to do this. It said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. Yes, Lord. Completely, yes. Woo! My soul says yes, yes, Lord. Huh. Woo, yes, Lord. From the bottom up. Woo, completely yes. My soul says yes. Sometimes through tears, sometimes it's just holding on so you won't run. You gotta say yes. You gotta say yes. You can't be moved by your circumstances. You can't be moved by what it looked like. It's gotta be completely yes. Completely yes.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church Podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's message. If you would like more information about our church, or if you would like to simply submit a prayer request, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.